No. All right, we'll say good morning. Good morning. Let us begin by thanking all of our sponsors for this morning. Share to thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Sivan, Haba Alinu Latova. Avram and Shindy, coming for dedicating all of Shimon Drashos this month in memory of Avram. Avram's father, Rafael Yechiel Ben Avram, Zichron Lebracha, Mr. Jerome Kelman. Our Daf Yomi sponsors for today, Alan Sarah Steinberg, in the schluss of continued health for Shulamis Kanabas Susha, and for an ultimate Rafua Shalema. So with that, let us begin. We, of course, as always, dedicate our learning in the schluss, Baruch Hashem, of our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael. Continue to go ahead and shower them with Shmiri Yisera, Hashkacha Pratis, allow our holy soldiers to be successful, B'chol Ma'aseh Yedeyem. And of course, we dedicate our learning in memory of Mr. Yossi Stantman, Rabbi Yanki, and Yitzi Stantman's father, Rabbi David Yosef ben Rabbi Tzvi, Zichrono Levracha, who's Nifter yesterday, whose Levaya is today. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, his neshama will have an aliyah, his family in the chama, and may Hashem share brachas and besoros tovos for all of Klal Yisrael. Bosai, today's daf is Lamed Vav 36. We are picking up in may Hashem on Lamed Hey Amud Beis. We left off, actually, I believe, at the Tashma B'Shimon Omer, which is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, about 16 lines up from the bottom. So now, if you remember again, in yesterday's daf, we turned the corner a little bit, or a lot, Baruch Hashem, and we went to the position of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon said in the Mishnah, that Allah said, when you shecht an animal, even if there is no blood at all, the animal is hukshar, the meat is hukshar l'kabel tumah. That was Rabbi Shimon's position. Now the Gemara is dealing with a very interesting question, which is, when Rabbi Shimon says that, does he mean that the blood of Shechita is not machshir the meat? In other words, that the blood itself never makes the meat receptive to tumah, and that it's only Shechita that makes it hukshar l'kabel tumah? Or no, maybe what Rabbi Shimon is saying is the Shechita, in addition to the blood, makes it hokshel lekabel tumah. That's the shaila. So Tashma, Rabbi Shimon Omer, dam hames eno machshir. It's an interesting case here. The Meir says that blood that comes from an animal that died by itself. Animal died, and now again there's blood. That blood does not allow the meat to be, or anything else, to become hokshel lekabel tumah. The Gemara says, my love, hodam shechita machshir. Can you infer from that that the blood of Shechita ultimately again does go ahead and makes I'm not going to keep translating. Machshir means again makes it receptive to receive tumah. Lo hadam chalal machshir. No, it's actually coming to tell me that the blood of an animal that was killed. So Rabbi said there's two terms being used over this. Dam hames, dam chalalim. Dam hames means an animal that died by itself. Dam chalalim is an animal that was killed by another animal. So the Gemara says, maybe he's coming to say that ultimately, again, not that dam shechita's machshir, but rather that dam chalolim, the blood of an animal killed by another animal, in fact, makes something receptive lekabel tumah. Avad dam shechita mai, but what would be the status of dam shechita? So it's lo machshir, it does not make something receptive to tumah. But one second, if that's the case, lishmoinan dam shechita, so tell us that dam shechita is not machshir something lekabel tumah. V'koshekin dam hames. And I would say, if dam shechita is not a liquid capable of making something hochshe lekabel tumah, then certainly again dam hames won't work as well. And I was like, what's the logic behind that? Because dam shechita has intentionality to it, right? In other words, you're intentionally shechting the animal, as opposed to dam hames, which doesn't have intentionality to it. To which the Gemara says, no, dam hames is shrichalei. No, we need to exclude dam hames. Why? Sardai tchamina, because you would have thought, because I would have thought that in reality, that dam hames should really be no different than dam shechita. Right? The halacha, what does it matter if I kill the animal or the malach hamavas kill the animal? Kamash mola, not so. Okay? Tashma, Rabbi Shimon says, dam magafaso eno machshir. This is interesting. Rabbi Shimon says that halacha is a blood from a wound. Let's say the animal is injured, and as a result, the animal bleeds. That blood does not make the meat receptive lekabel tumah. So my love, hadam shechita machshir. Can we not infer from this that the blood of shechita is machshir? Lo hadam chalal machshir. No, it's coming to teach me that if you have blood from an animal that was killed by another animal, that makes it that makes chushal gavul tuma. Aval dam shchita mai, what be the size of dam shchita? Lo machshir, it does not make it chushal gavul tuma. If that's the case, lishma inon dam shchita v'kol shekin dam magafaso. If that's the case, then teach us the din by dam shchita, and all the more so it would include blood that comes from a wound. To which the Gemara says, no, dam magafaso is shrichale. No, I need the Gemara to teach me about blood that comes from a wound. Why? The Gemara says, sadai tchamino, mali katle kule, mali katle palge. This was interesting. The Gemara understands, what does it matter if the animal is fully killed or partially killed? It's interestingly enough, the Gemara looks at the blood from a wound as if the animal has been partially killed. Okay? Omaishna dam chalam de machshir. So they both say, so remember again, let's take a step back. What are we doing? So remember again, what are machlokes of the Mishnah? Let's go back to our original case. What's the case? I shechted an animal. What was unique about this scenario? There was no blood. So Tanakhama said, no blood, that means the meat is not receptive lekabel tumah because it never came in contact with a liquid. That was the Tanakhama. Rabbi Shimon said, no, shechitaso machshiraso. Ultimately, again, the shechita itself, even without a liquid medium, makes the meat receptive to be makabel tumah. Now what the Gemara is just trying to figure out, Rabbi Shimon, when you say that, do you mean to say that the blood of shechita is not a machshir? Is that what you're saying? That there's something unique about the blood of shechita itself that is not a machshir? Or that, no, even Rabbi Shimon, of course, agrees that the blood of shechita is a machshir. He just also adds in that in addition to the blood of shechita, even if there's no blood of shechita, shechita itself is a machshir. Shechita itself is a concretizing act that allows ultimately again for the meat to receive tumah. That's what we're trying to figure out over here. So the Gemara says, along this journey, we end up picking up some additional pieces of information like different types of blood. So now Bosa, it turns out that there's dam shchita, okay? There's dam hames, which is blood that comes from an animal that died from its own. There's dam magafaso, which is blood that comes from an injury. And there's dam chalolim, which is blood that comes when an animal is killed by another animal. Now, interestingly enough, one of the things that the Gemara just said is that dam chalolim, when an animal is killed by another animal, right, and the victim animal bleeds, that blood ultimately, again, is machshir lekabel tumah. If that blood comes in contact with something, that blood acts as a liquid medium to allow that item which came in contact with the blood to be receptive to tumah. So the Gemara says, where do you get that from? Umayshna dam chalolim de machshir. Why? Why is blood that comes from an animal that was killed by another animal, why is that machshir? Tachsiv v'dam chalolim yishta. So Rabbi says, it's really quite interesting. From the Bracha of Bilam. So remember again, when Bilam describes the fact that Klal Yisrael ultimately again will be successful, how does he describe our success? V'dam chalolim yishta. That ultimately again we will drink the blood of our, it's really of our enemies. But chalolim means those who are killed. Those who are killed, the metaphor of course. So the Gemara says, what do you see from here? You see from here that interestingly enough, the blood of an animal that's killed is ultimately called the drink, shtia. If it's called shtia, that means it's like the other liquids that are capable of making something receptive to tumah. I dam shchita namik siv al aris tishpechenu kamayim. One second. The blood of shchita, the Torah also uses the lashon. The Torah says, what do you do with the dam of shchita? Pour it on the earth like water. So you see from here that the blood of shchita is compared to water. If that's the case, just like water is machshir lekabel tumah, so too, blood of shechita should be machshir lekabel tumah. To which the Gemara says, "Hahu lemishrei daman depsulei mukdashin ba'anahu da'asam." No. That pasuk of "Ala aretz tishpechenu kamayim" is actually coming to teach me something else. That aloch lemeisa, if you have psulei mukdashin, we'll say, look at the last Rashi on the daf. Psulei mukdashin, liachar sheniftu. So psulei mukdashin means animals that were consecrated as kavanos, developed some type of blemish, were disqualified for sacrificial use, and were then redeemed. So the achar sheniftu, ma'mayim mutarim ba'ano, afdam psulei mukdashin mutarim ba'ano. So what I say, interestingly enough, just like water is mutar ba'ano, so too if you have sacrificial animals which were blemished and then redeemed, the blood of those animals is permitted for benefit. Use it for benefit. So the Gemara says, "Tav of Lamed Vav, 36a." Sadai Tamina, because I would have thought by Psula Mukdashin, Hawil v'Asiri b'Giza v'Avoda Daman li baikvura. I would have thought that just like these psulei mukdashim, these animals which were designated for karbanos, but then were subsequently disqualified because of some type of blemish and then redeemed, I would have thought the same way that you cannot go ahead and shear them, right? You can't shear them and you can't work them. I would have also thought that their blood requires burial. Kamashmalon, not like that. Kamashmalon, that halacha l'maaseh said their blood is actually permitted for handa. Incredible. So it's under the Rabbi Shmuel. V'dam chalal l'mishta. So we'll say Rabbi Shmuel darshan this a little bit differently. The pasuk says, shall drink the blood of the chalalim. Prat l'dam kiluach she'enu machshir es hazorim. This comes to exclude. Now, I'll say, interestingly enough, dam chalalim, so the Gemara therefore suggests, remember, what did we learn from that pasuk? Dam chalalim teaches us that if an animal is killed by another animal, the victim animal's blood acts as a vehicle to make another item receptive to Tumah. The Gemara says, now comes along Tanya Rabbi Shimon and says, by the way, that's only the blood ultimately, again, through which the animal dies. But it doesn't include the original, what we'll call, I don't know what the technical term is, what we'll call it, spurt blood. Just for illustrative purposes only, right? So what's spurt blood? Kishmo kein hu, right? It's when you go out and you shech the animal, it's the blood that spurts out. That's the Gemara calls that dam kiluach. Dam kiluach ultimately again is not a machsheno machshes azraim. Now look at Rashi. Rashi says over here. The Rashi says actually that this is not talking about a case per se of shchita. Rashi says prat ladam kiluach hamakiz es abehema betchilas adam shoseis betipa achas oshtai ve'arakachu mekaleach. So apparently, again, when you go out and you do bloodletting on an animal, so at first the blood comes out slowly, then it goes in and it spurts. That spurt blood, ultimately, again, is not machshir. Rather, again, Rashi points out over here, it's only the blood that comes out after the spurt blood, as that's called lifeblood. Okay, different types of blood. Incredible. Someone goes back to Tarabon. Shochet Fetis Damal Dalas. Interesting case over here. I shecht an animal, and what happens? This from the spurt blood of the animal, right? It splashes on a gourd. Now, Gerabo said, there's nothing unique over here about a gourd, right? Except again, the gourd is, now Rashi points out over here, obviously, you're talking about a detached gourd. Right, because remember, if something is attached to the ground, it doesn't become hoksha lekabel tumah. Only something that is detached is hoksha lekabel tumah. So the Gemara says, so watch this case. So I'm shechting my animal, and there happens to be a gourd. Rashi points out the gourd of truma, right next to me on the ground. Some of the shechita blood splashes on the gourd. So what's the shaila? The shaila is the gourd receptive to be makabel tumah or not? So Rabbi Omer Hochshar, Rabbi says ultimately again the gourd is Hochshar lekabel tumah. Rabbi Chiya Omer Tolin, and Rabbi Chiya says we suspend it. Now generally Tolin is the expression that's used when we don't know the status of something and it kind of just remains in suspension. We'll see what that means. Rabbi Oshia, so Rabbi Oshia said, Me'achash Rabbi Omer Hochshar, Rabbi Chiya Omer Tolin, Anu Ami Nismoch. So Rabbi Oshia said, now that Rabbi says that it's Hochshar, and Rabbi Chiya said Tolin, who should we rely on? Ba'u v'nismoch al divrei Rabbi Shimon. Let's rely on Rabbi Shimon. Now that's Rabbi Shimon from our Mishnah. What did Rabbi Shimon say? Rabbi Shimon Omer, shchita machsheres v'lo dam. Because Rabbi Shimon was the one who said that shchita is the machsher and not blood. Now this is very interesting. This is very interesting that it sounds like what the Gemara is saying over here is that when Rabbi Shimon says that shchita is machsher and not dam, it means only shchita is machsher and not blood. Okay. Amra Papa, Hakol Modim Hecha di Isa Ladam Mitchila V'Yasov, Kuli Amalo Pligi, the Machshir. So Rav Papa adds in a very interesting qualification. Everyone agrees that if the blood remains on the gourd from the beginning until the end of Shechita, that ultimately, again, everyone agrees that it's Machshir, that the blood is Machshir, the gourd. Ki Pligi, this is very interesting. Where's the Machlokes? Ben Iskani Chadam Ben Simon L'Simon. When the blood, so I'll say, just remember the order of the progression over here, right? I'm shechting the animal, the blood spurted on the gourd, and now the shaila is the gourd hoksha lekabel tumah or not? So the Gemara says like this, it all depends on how long was the blood on the gourd. If the blood remained on the gourd throughout the duration of the Shechita, everyone agrees it's hochshar. If it was wiped off in the middle, what happens if the blood spurted, but then the blood was wiped off the gourd in between the kana and the veshet? Rebbe Savar, yesh l'shechita mitchila v'atzof, v'haydam shechiti. So I'll say we go back, we reference back a machlokes that we had previously. Yesh l'shechita mitchila v'atzof, in l'shechita. When do we say that shechita occurs? Is shechita a progression? Right? Is the act of shechita a progression, which begins with the cutting of the first simen and goes all the way through till the conclusion of the last simen? Or maybe shechita is only an act which culminates with the final cutting of the last simen. So Rebbe holds shechita is a progression. Because shechita is a progression, therefore again, this blood that spurted initially is called dam shechita, and dam shechita is machshir. Rabbi Chiya holds ein l'shechita el basof. Rabbi Chiya on the other hand holds, no, shechita is only considered to have occurred at the end of the process. And therefore I will say, watch this. When this blood originally spurts out on the gourd, what is it? V'hai dam makohu. Fascinating. That's called dam makohu. That's called dam of an injury. And the Gemara is operating with the assumption over here that halacha lemaisa, dam makohu does not go ahead and is not makshir. Is that makshir? So the Gemara says, one second, my tolin. So what does it mean when it says tolin? Tolin hadavar ad gemara shechita means we have to wait to see until the shechita is over. If the blood is still on the gourd at the end of shechita, then the blood is machshir. V'ilo lo machshir. But if the blood is not there at the end of the shechita, then ultimately it's not machshir. What does it mean? Let's come and rely on the words of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon lo machshir. Rabbi Chiya machshir ben iskanach. So again, according to Rabbi Shimon, remember, Rabbi Shimon's shita, the way the Gemara is understanding it now, is that dam shechita is never machshir. Ultimately, again, according to Rabbi Chiya, ultimately it is machshir. To which the Gemara says, ben iskanach miu ashvu lahadadi. But ultimately, again, where do their shitos intersect? Where the blood was wiped away from the gourd in between Simon 1 and Simon 2. Marlo machshir, the Gemara says, lahadadi. Marlo machshir, marlo machshir. Both of them agree that ultimately, again, the gourd is not receptive to tumah, albeit for different reasons. Havile Rebbe Chad. So therefore, again, I will say essentially it's Rebbe Shimon and Rebbe Chiya against Rebbe. Rebbe is a singular opinion. Vein dvarv shel echa b'makom shnayim. And ultimately, again, Rebbe's opinion, therefore, again, is batel barov. You know, again, it's two against one, and therefore Rebbe's opinion will not endure. Rav Ashi says, tolin li olam mashma. Rebbe Ashi says, no. Tolin means in general, but whenever you see the expression tolin generally means like achi yavo elio, right? That we just leave it in suspension. Not for a little bit, but on an ongoing level. And when the blood was wiped off from the gourd in between the cutting of the first simon and the second simon, Rabbi Chiya was mesupak. What was he mesupak about? Yeshnu l'shchita mitchila v'atzof. Rabbi Chiya was unsure what is the halachic definition of shechita. Is shechita a progression which extends from the first cut until the end, or no, shechita is only something which occurs with the culmination of the cutting of the two simonim. So Rabbi said, I just want to point out, just so you understand how interesting this is, because we've spoken about this before. To be honest, it sounded like a little bit academic earlier, but think about it from this perspective, right? If you hold that shechita is only a process that occurs with the conclusion of the cutting of the second simen, that means the blood that spurts out at the initial part of the shechita is not called dam shechita. That's not called the blood of shechita. What is that called? That's called dam makah. That's called blood from an injury. Right, as opposed to if you hold that shechita is a progression from the beginning until the end, then halacha lemaisa that's dam shechita. So there's a big nafkamina because it seems to me everyone is agreeing dam makah, blood of an injury, is not machshir. Is not machshir, right? It's not machshir, right? Halacha lemaisa, but where was I? Yeah, that right. So, yeah. So, yes. So, back to our regularly scheduled program. Yeah, so dam maka, ultimately, again, dam maka is not machshir. Dam shchita, ultimately, again, is machshir, according to everyone except Rabbi Shimon, right? There still is that position of Rabbi Shimon. So just to point out, everything hinges on that definition of shchita, shchita progression, yeshna l'shchita mitkila v'atzov, or inga l'shchita ela l'basov. Okay, the Gemara says, the Gemara goes back. Now the Gemara says, one second, Rav Ashi says, no. Tolin in general means, tolin the olam hashmur, right? Tolin means halacha l'maisa forever. Forever, not just for a little bit of time. And Rabbi Chiya's whole suffix is, what is the halachic definition of shchita? Umay tolin, what does tolin mean? Lo ochlin velo surfin. Ultimately, and I will say, remember again, this is why Rashi pointed out over here that the gourd in question is a gourd of truma. It's a gourd of truma. So what does it mean, tolin? Tolin means, ultimately, again, we don't eat it and we don't burn it. Umay bo v'nismach al divrei Rabbi Shimon. And what does it mean when we say, let's come and rely on the position of Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Shimon lo machshir, Rabbi Chiya sveika. Sveika, right? According to Rabbi Shimon says that blood of shchita is not machshir. Rabbi Chiya was mesopak. Rabbi Chiya just did not know. He did not know what is the status of dam shchita. Le'in sreifa miu shavul hadadi. When it comes to Rabbosai, to burning it, now again, when they say burning, let's say again, this gourd were to come in contact with tuma. So what would you do in that situation? They agree. Mar lo sarfe, umar lo sarfe. Both Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Shimon would agree that ultimately, again, we would not burn the gourd of truma in that situation. Havile Rebbe Chad. Therefore, again, it turns out that Rebbe is a singular opinion. Ve'dvarav shel echad b'makom shnayim. And ultimately, again, Rebbe's opinion does not stand up against the two opinions of Rebbe Chiya and Rebbe Shimon. V'achikom, this is what it means to say, kigon zos, a case like this, tolin lo ochlin v'lo sarfin. So Moses says, this would be an interesting case, a case of where the blood of shchita spurted upon a gourd of truma, and then let's say that gourd became tame afterwards, or came in contact with tuma. What do you do with the gourd? Right? And everything depends on, was the gourd hochshir l'kabel tuma or not? Well, that's a machlokeh. So again, Rebbe says, yes, it's hochshir l'kabel tuma. Rebbe Chiya says, I'm not sure. Now, part of Rabbi Chiya, here's what's interesting. What's Rabbi Chiya's suffix? Rabbi Chiya's suffix is, what's the status of shchita? Is shchita mitchila v'atzov, in which case, again, it's hochshir, or shchita ina ela l'basov, in which case that's damaka, it's not hochshir. So you've got Rabbi Chiya's suffix, coupled with Rabbi Shimon saying it's not hochshir l'kabel tuma, because Rabbi Shimon holds that dam shchita is not a machshir at all. Two against one, and therefore, if this gourd became tame after being spritzed with dam shchita, you would just kind of let it sit. Tolin, we would leave it alone because we were not sure exactly what to do with it. All right, interesting. By Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, another case. Rish Lakish asked the following shayla: Srid shel menachos. Okay, so we'll say this is an interesting case. Look at Rashi. Srid shel menachos. So we'll say back to our menachos days a little bit. I have a karma mincha. So remember again, karma mincha, you take the flour, you go ahead in general, and you mix it with oil. But in the case over here is, I have like a clump of flour that did not get mixed with the oil. That's the case. Srid shal mincha, srid shal menachos. So I have a clump of flour that did not end up getting mixed with the oil. Now, what happened? Rashi says, karte kemach hatzabra b'mincha ve'in shal menichnas l'zoho. Srid lashon yavesh l'gumas v'rosh hashana haya kolodak. Kaimelon d'chibas ka. Okay, so we'll say now watch this. So what's the halacha? Monin bo rishon v'sheni. O ein monin bo rishon v'sheni. Ultimately, again, I will say, so do we say, now, halacha l'maisa, do we say that this clump of mincha is capable of receiving tuma, right? Becoming a rishon or a sheni, conveying tuma to a rishon or a sheni. So we'll say, now, what's the shiloh over here? Now, one second. Bless you. If it's a clump of flour that did not come in contact with the oil, then how is it receptive to tuma? So remember, again, Rabbi said, what we're going to be focusing on over here is the concept that we've seen already a number of times of chibas kodesh machsharton. That sometimes chibas kodesh literally means the elevated status of kodesh, by definition, makes something ro'i lekabel tuma. makes something receptive to. We've seen this concept already a couple of times. Chibas Kodesh Machshartan. The elevated status of being consecrated, by definition, makes you receptive to Tumah. Again, I want to say, just to understand the logic of that. The concept of Hoksha Lekabel Tumah essentially means an item is like a finished product, right? An item is in its ready state, and therefore, again, it's receptive to Tumah. So essentially, the Gemara makes the argument, or not the argument, the Gemara says the concept that when something is consecrated, it's quote-unquote finished. So because it's in its finished state, therefore, halacha l'maisa, it is receptive to Tumah. Good. So now, that's the Shiloh. It's rich al menachos, monu bar rishon v'sheni, v'ayim al rosh v'sheni, ki mahanyin bechibas kodesh, lafsule gufei. So when we say, now again, that clump is going to be receptive. Why? Because of chibas kodesh. So when we say that something is receptive to Tumah, right, hok shel kabel Tumah, because of chibas kodesh, maybe that only means, lafsule gufei, that it itself, right, can become possible. The mimne be rishon v'sheni lo, but to go ahead and, or maybe chibas kodesh is enough to make the clump itself aser ba'achila. But to go ahead and create a rishon and a sheni, maybe chibas kodesh is not powerful enough to do that. Oh, dilma loshna, or maybe not. Maybe chibas kodesh works the same way as contact with a liquid, and just like contact with a liquid allows the item itself to become prohibited, but also allows it to convey tumah to other things. Maybe halacha lemaisa, chibas kodesh does the same thing. Amar Rav Elazar, tashma mikola ochel asher yachel. So the pasuk says, mikola ochel asher yachel asher yavo alav mayim yitma. So again, this is the pasuk that talks about the idea that anytime you have a food item that comes in contact with a liquid, that contact with a liquid makes it receptive to tumah. That's the concept we're talking about over here. So the Gemara, listen to this. So what does this teach you? It's only food that comes in contact with a liquid that is hokshar lekabel tumah. Ochel she'ino babamayim lo hokshar. But ultimately, again, food that does not come in contact with water is not hokshar, right? It's not hokshar. Atu Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish lesle ochel babamayim. So does Reish Lakish not hold that food has to come in contact with liquid in order to be receptive to mekabel tumah? Or as I will say, isn't that just a universally held principle? Reish Lakish, Rabbi Shimon Lakish, hakami ba'yalei. This is Reish Lakish's shayla. Chibas hektish ka'ochala ba'bemayim dami, olo. So we'll say it's very interesting. That was his shayla. His shayla is chibas kodesh. Is that the equivalent of the food item coming in contact with water or not? That's the shayla. Everybody agrees that chibas kodesh, being consecrated by definition, makes you receptive to tumah. The shayla is, does that go ahead and essentially, is that the equivalent of going ahead and coming in contact with water or not? Rabbi Elazar, Gemara says, Olo, Rabbi Elazar Nami, Mieturi Kraikomer. Rabbi Elazar, is also darshaning from what appears to be additional psukim. Michtik, Siv, Vichi Yutan Mai Mazera. On one hand, the pasuk says, if water will come upon the seed. So we'll say that is a pasuk that also seeks out the idea that when food comes in contact or when produce comes in contact with water, it becomes receptive to tumah. Mikala ochel asher ya'achel lamli. So I need the second pasuk. There's already a pasuk that says, chiyutan mayim azera. If water will come upon a seed, it becomes receptive to tumah. Why do I need the other pasuk of mikala ochel asher ya'achel asher yavo alav mayim? Lamli. I will say, amud beis, lav lemeute chibas kodesh. It must be coming to exclude chibas kodesh. That's what I'm saying. That as much as chibas kodesh makes something ra'oi lekabel tumah, halacha lemaisa, it's not the equivalent of coming in contact with water. There's, remember, I'm saying, what would be the nafkamina? Chibas kodesh says that something is receptive to tumah, i.e., that the item itself could become tameh, but not that it can convey tumah to something else. In order to convey tumah to something else, how does that happen? That only happens ultimately, again, if your tumah comes about through contact with a liquid medium. So both says, look, just let's take a step back over just a second, because the Gemara is analyzing, there's two things happening over here. in a classic sense, right, the one thing that everyone agrees upon is that halacha lemaisa, in order for an item to be mekabel tumah, what has to happen? Now, by the way, when I say an item, what items are we referring to? Only food items, right? Right, food. Because remember, let's say by kelim, by utensils, utensils do not have to come in contact with a liquid in order to become tameh. What does a utensil need in order to be mekabel tumah? What does a utensil need? Completion. A utensil has to be finished. Only a utensil in a finished, once a utensil is finished, then it is receptive to tumah. When we speak about a liquid medium, that's dafka by food, right? Food has to come in contact with a liquid in order to go ahead and be receptive to tumah. Now there's another category. The other category is called chibas kodesh. Chibas kodesh is when an item is consecrated, that also makes it receptive to tumah. The shayla we're trying to figure out is chibas kodesh the same as coming in contact with a liquid? Now, what does that mean? The havamin is maybe chibas kodesh says like this, that when the item is consecrated, it could receive tumah, but what? Can't convey. As opposed to an item that becomes royal kabbal tumah through a liquid medium, could receive and convey. That's the shayla we're dealing with on this. Gemara just wanted to suggest over here, maybe the pasuk, the redundant pasuk is coming to teach us that it's dafka halacha l'maisa, an item that comes in contact with liquid that is capable of receiving and conveying, chibas kodesh can receive but can't convey. To which the Gemara says, lo, that's not what it's talking about. Chad betumas meis v'chad betumas sheret. So this is actually very interesting. You know, actually, one pasuk is talking about tumas meis, and one is about tumas sheret, that in both of these cases, the item has to be hoksha lekabel tumah in order to be able to receive either one of these two types of tumas. Now, why do I need this? Watch this. It's tricky. I need both. I'll tell you why. Tiyash mu'ina tumas meis. Had the pasuk just taught me tumas meis. Hazamu dubai hechsher. It's only in that case where the item first has to be hoksha to be mekabel tumas meis. Why? The Gemara says, mishum dolo metami b'chadasha. Because remember again, Tumas Meis, Rav said, Tumas Meis does not convey Tumah only in the size of a kizayis, not kadosha, not even a minute amount. Aval sheretz, the metayim bechadosha, but sheretz, which conveys Tumah even in a small amount, the size of a lentil, ema loli by heksher, perhaps Tumas sheretz can be contracted even if the item was not hoksha lekabel Tumah. V'yashmo inan sheretz, mishum dolo metami Tumas shiva. Furthermore, again, if it would have told us that by Tumas Sheretz, the item first has to be Hoksha Lekabel Tumah, why is that? Because Tumas Sheretz does not create a 7-day Tumah. Aval Meis, the Metami Tumas Shiva, Ema Loli Boy Hechsher. But Meis, ultimately, again, which is Metami for 7 days, perhaps the strength of that Tumah does not require ultimately Hakshal Kabal Tumah. Therefore it's Richa. Therefore we need both. So we'll say this is really interesting. So therefore it turns out that the redundancy is not redundant at all. Rather, again, one pasuk was coming to teach me that for Tumas Meis, in order for an item to contract Tumas Meis, the item has to be Hokshal Kabal Tumah, contact with the liquid. And the second pasuk teaches me that for Tumas Sheretz, in order for an item to contract Tumas Sheretz, it has to be Hokshal Kabal Tumah. Incredible. Gemara was weiter. Masir Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef raised the kasha. Rabbi Shimon over hokshur b'shchita. Rabbi Shimon says that halacha lemaisa, hokshur b'shchita. Now what's hokshur b'shchita? Ultimately, again, hokshur b'shchita means that an item goes ahead and is hokshur lekabel tumah. So by shchita, hokshuru vafilu leminli b'hu vishon b'sheni. Now, when we say hokshuru, ultimately, again, doesn't that mean even to make something a rishon and a sheni? Amai, but why is that? Baha lav ochel haba b'mayimu. Now, again, Abba said, remember, again, let's take a step back to our Mishnah. All roads lead back to the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon said that halacha l'maisa, when you shecht an animal, that animal is hokshur lekabel tumah. So the Gemara says the meat is hokshur lekabel tumah, but why? But the meat did not come in contact with a liquid. So what's happening over here? It didn't come in contact with, so why should it be hokshur? To which the Gemara says, Amalei Abaye aso kehechshur mai midrabanan. It's very interesting. So the Gemara says, Abaye said that according to Rabbi Shimon, when you shecht an animal, that is the equivalent as if the meat came in contact with water. But that is only midrabanan. What is he saying? Midrabanan. Rashi said midrabanan. V'lo sarfinan ala truma v'kachim im naguba. Okay. I'm Rabbi Zira. Good. So we'll say, so that's the case. Therefore, we'll say, so just watch what's happening right now. We don't have resolution on this, but we have a whole bunch of stuff swirling around, which is really interesting. Right? So remember again, so first of all, in general, we have our overarching machlokas. What's our overarching machlokas? We keep going back to the Mishnah. That halacha l'maaseh, you shecht without blood. No blood came out. So Tanakhama said, meat is not hoksha l'kabel tumah. Ultimately, again, Rabbi Shimon says, no, shechitasa machshirasa. Shechita is the machshir. So that's machlokas number one. Then within that, again, what we're doing today is, what does Rabbi Shimon mean? Does Rabbi Shimon mean it's just the shechita that's machshir? Blood is not machshir? Okay. Then in addition, what else do we have? What type of blood from an animal is machshir? What type is not? Remember again, we've got dam shechita, we've got dam chalalim, we've got dam hames, we've got dam magafasa, we've got all varieties of blood. We got all kinds of blood going on over here, and the shaila is which one is machshir, which one is not machshir. Then we now have chibas hakodesh. Right, chibas kodesh says that again, when something is hekdesh, ultimately it's hoksha lekabel tuma. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean it's just hoksha lekabel tuma itself, that it could contract tuma? Could it contract and not convey? Could it contract and convey? Also open items. So just keep track of all these open items. And Meretz Hashem, I will say, don't worry. I know you're on the edge of your seat with this stuff. I promise we're going to get resolution on this. And we'll see the answers to all of this. And again, walk away really with a tremendous amount of knowledge. So the Mark goes like that. We're not finished. We still have to develop this a bit more. So Tashma, Amar Mizera, Tashma, Habotzer Legat. So this is another very interesting case over here. I am collecting grapes in a basket. Because I'm going to take the grapes to the press. Now what ends up happening? Obviously when you have a bunch of grapes in the basket, what ends up happening? The juice oozes out. So now Boaz says, so now what's happened? Now all of these grapes have become wet, have become moist. Now obviously, again, now wine or juice that comes from a grape is one of the types of liquids that makes something hokshar lekabel tuma. So Boaz says, so now what's the shaila? The shaila is, are the grapes in the basket hokshar lekabel tuma or not? Shammai omer hokshar. Shammai says, yeah, of course it's hokshar. Hillel omer lo hokshar. Hillel says ultimately, again, no, it's not hokshar. Now listen, now watch this. V'shasik le Hillel Shammai. And this is actually very interesting. V'shasik le Hillel Shammai means ultimately, again, Hillel was ultimately silent before Shammai, which is another way of saying that Hillel came around to go ahead and accept Shammai's position. Incredible. Now again, on both sides, it happens to be, okay, we'll discuss in just a moment, but so Amai, Vahalo Ochel Baba Maimu. I don't understand, but why? Why would the grapes be Hoksha Lekabel Tuma? After all, the grapes did not come in contact with water. In other words, on both sides, we're assuming that maybe water is water and not enough liquid, so the grapes didn't come in contact with water. Amalei Abaye, Asu Kehachsha Maim Midrabanan. The rabbis made it as if the grapes came in contact with water, Midrabanan. Midrabanan, Amadir Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef says, Aminalacha. So I'm sorry, Amadir Rav Yosef, Aminalacha Ana Hokshru B'Shchita. So I was talking to you before that the animal, the right, the meat becomes Hokshru Lekabel Tuma through Shchita itself. V'at Omeres Liasu Kehachshar Mayim. And ultimately, again, you're saying to me that it's as if it became receptive through contact with water. From Amalacha Rabbi Zera, V'amart V'amalacha Rabbi Zera, V'amart Liasu Kehachshar Mayim. And again, and I said to you about Shitas Rabbi Zera, and once again you responded back that Chazal made it as if it came in contact with water. Rishim ben Lakish nami asu kach shemayim. Why don't you say something like Rish Lakish? Rish Lakish, that's how Chazal made it. Chazal instituted that it's as if it came in contact with water. Amar lei atu Rabbi Shim ben Lakish litlos kami bailei ki kami bailei listrof. Rish Lakish is, so also, remember again, this is circling back now to the gourd case also. Right? Rish Lakish was not talking about tolin. Rish Lakish is wondering, under what circumstances would we be able to burn this as truma tzmeya? Mechlal, the chibas hakodesh da'oraisa. Now again, about this, so now we're coming full circle. So the Gemara says, by the way, so now, remember, how do we get into this? We got into this because the Gemara was trying to figure out, when we say that an item is hokshu lekabel tuma through Chibas HaKodesh. Does Chibas HaKodesh make it like contact with water or not? That's our fundamental shayla. So we'll say that interestingly enough, the Gemara says, well, we can infer from this is that Halacha L'maisa, the concept of Chibas HaKodesh, is Doraisa. Like this idea that when something is Kodesh, it is Ro'i L'kabal Toma, that comes in Doraisa. First, the Gemara says, Minalan. Where do you know that from? Where do you know that because something is Hekdesh, Halacha L'maisa, it is now receptive to be Makabal Toma? Where do you know that from? Ilima Medichsev, V'habasar Shayiga B'chol Tamei. If you will say, because the pasuk itself says, "Va'basar sheyiga b'chol tamei lo ye'achel ba'ish yisareif." So maybe you'll say the meat, which is sacrificial meat, which will touch any tamei thing, shall not be eaten; it shall be burned. Now, again, I'll say, now here's what's interesting: which sacrificial meat does this refer to? Any sacrificial meat. And if you notice again, the Torah doesn't make a distinction. Was it roi l'kabal tuma? Not roi l'kabal tuma. So what does that make it sound like? Any sacrificial meat, by definition, is ro'i l'kabal tuma. Hai basar dis kasher b'mai. So we'll say, now watch this. This is fascinating. So now, Torah gives me a blanket rule. What's the blanket rule? If sacrificial meat comes in contact with something that is tamei, what's the halacha? What does Torah say? You burn it. The Gemara says, one second. Let's take a step back. In order for something that is a food item to be makabal tuma, what do you need? Contact with the liquid. Where does this hold up? Where did this sacrificial meat come in contact with the liquid? Right? When did that happen? The Gemara says, "B'mai." How this kashemai? How did it become hoksha? How did it become receptive? Ilema this kashem b'dam. Oh, well, that's simple. It came in contact ultimately again with sacrificial blood. Not going to work. Why? Sacrificial blood, interestingly enough, does not make an item receptive to tuma. How do we know this? The Torah says, by blood, do not eat it, spill it out on the ground. Dam hanishbach kamayim machshir, she'eno nishbach kamayim eno machshir. Only blood, remember, blood is compared to water. What kind of blood is compared to water? What kind of blood? Blood that's spilled on the ground. What type of blood is spilled on the ground? Regular chulin blood, right? But sacrificial blood is dafka, not spilled on the ground. Sacrificial blood is dafka collected. Therefore, it's not compared to water. Because it's not compared to water, therefore what? It does not act as a machshir. It does not make something receptive to mekabel tuma. Ella, so the Gemara says, therefore, we'll say, okay, so you know what? We're going to stop over here for today. We're going to stop over here. I want to be clear as to where we're stopping. Because again, we're so close to the end over here. Tomorrow's going to be so good. So again, we'll say, so just where are we stopping? We're stopping. The Gemara says, we all accepted the concept of chibas kodesh machsherto. Something is hektish, ultimately, again, it is receptive to tuma. The Gemara just says, where do you know that from? So again, the Gemara quoted the pasuk. The pasuk said that if sacrificial meat comes in contact with tuma, you have to burn it. Obviously, that means the meat was receptive to tuma. How was the meat receptive to tuma? That's our question. Originally, we thought it's from the blood, ultimately, again, of the sacrifice itself. That's not going to work because that blood is not machshir, because halacha l'maaseh only blood spilled out on the ground is a machshir, not sacrificial blood. So how is sacrificial meat fit? How is it hoksha l'kabel tuma? To be continued tomorrow, Bosa, and the resolution of the rest of the sugya as well. Shkoyach. Everyone's doing another great day. Shabbos, everyone.
What's the baby's name?
Levi Dunn.
After?
My great grandfather.
Baby's my okay?
Baby's grandfather.
Sorry, I couldn't stay. It's great.
You know, to be told late because this way my parents and Levi's parents had to travel around for a short swim. It's too hard. 6:45. They would have had to come the night before. So they left 6:15.
Perfect.
Reasonable.
Good. Hashem. Everyone's good.
Everyone's great. Another client. Another patient. I should say. I'm sorry. Livy's who's in the running.
It's not me.
Livy's who's in the running.